On first down, Daniels goes back. He lets it fly. It's intercepted. It's intercepted by Blankenship. I believe he caught it.
Yes.
You're right, Devin. That was good. It wasn't quite Marv Albert. Yes! Jordan, yes! But it was a good call, yes. and it was a great play by Reed Blankenship, who has had a knack for these game-ending, essentially ending, clinching, if you will, interceptions that are the sliding variety with a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter. Great play by Blankenship, who's had a much better season this year than last year. Speaking of better, Seth Joyner is one of the better players Eagles have ever had. He joins us every single Monday, but not this case, because it's a Friday following a Thursday night game, a great win by the Eagles last night. Seth, brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters, how you heat your water matters. Whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com, and we welcome for the entire next hour an Eagles legend. And before we get to the game, we got to honor Mr. Seth Joyner in 3 days, who will turn 60 years old. Nice. Happy birthday, Seth.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
How do you feel, man?
I don't feel 60, that's for sure.
You don't look 60.
You don't look it, that's for sure.
I would be remiss this morning, Joe, if I didn't shout out Kendra. You know, yesterday was her birthday, and I was with the game and everything going on. I didn't even post yesterday, so I got some catching up to do. But her birthday was yesterday. I just wanted to wish her a happy birthday. She had an awesome day, went to the game last night with her parents, so it was great.
Well, Seth, you're a very, very lucky guy with a spectacular wife. And, you know, Amy and I have hung out with you and Kendra a number of times. We love her. And so happy birthday to both of you.
Happy birthday, both you guys.
Yeah, good stuff. So, Seth, tremendous, tremendous close by the Eagles. I mean, other than it got a little weird with a minute to go, but that didn't really matter. Great fourth quarter by the Eagles. Incredible surge. 6-game winning streak, 8-2. What's your main takeaway coming out of last night?
I think we're getting to the point now where we expect Saquon to just be Saquon and do something special at some point. So we were trying to figure out, you know, the player of the game last night. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it to the defense. Because believe it or not, before, you know, they kind of gave up that last 50-something yards at the end there, this Washington offense was averaging 377 yards per game. They were stuck at 209. And, it's been this way, you know, for a couple of weeks where the defense in the first half throughout sometimes, you know, the first three quarters, you know, they got to hold it. They got to hold the fort down until the offense kind of figures it out.
Yeah.
So as great as Saquon is and as great as the offensive line played and, you know, Jalen certainly had, you know, his moments. If this defense doesn't step up the way that it steps up, three sacks, an interception, if they don't do what they're doing, there might not be a game down the stretch for them to explode in the fourth quarter and win.
Seth, how much of this defensive excellence, how much of the defensive success is scheme by Vic Fangio, and how much is just simply getting out there and putting your face on people and tackling the way you should and just being tough football players?
I think it's a combination of it all, John. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, Vic Fangio is one of the better defensive minds in the National Football League. I don't know what version of that we got in Jonathan Gannon and Sean Desai, but it doesn't look anything like what I'm watching, Vic Fangio put together. But, you know, last week he talked about, I think someone asked him about, why is the tackling so much better? And he says, you know, I had a coach when I first started coaching. He said that, you know, when you emphasize something, you know, players get better at it. You know, yeah. He's 100% correct.
And simple as that.
Yeah. And I think what winds up happening throughout the length of a long season, and because, you know, the physical side of football is not practiced anymore, you know, the tackling kind of goes by the wayside. So if you're not a player that will work on those things on an individual basis, you kind of lose techniques and fundamentals as far as that kind of stuff is concerned. But when you emphasize it, you know, they got the donut out of there. They started, you know, tackling to the ground, you know, even though the mat was down. When you start to emphasize something, you get better at it. That's why, you know, I'm a big proponent for it. At some point in time in the season, Or maybe even, you know, once every few weeks of just having a technique and fundamental day, because, you know, a lot of people will be like, well, my goodness, you know, they're professional players. They've been playing ever since they were little kids. You know, shouldn't they know how to do that? You know, it's a great point. But when you don't work on something, when you don't emphasize something, it minimizes, you know, your ability to do it at the highest level. You know, you kind of lose some of the, you know, some of the methodology for how to do it.
Sure. How good is Quinyon Mitchell?
You know, right now, I'm telling you, he's got to be, you know, in the top two or three cornerbacks in the National Football League right now. And that's
that's
saying a lot.
Wow. Man. Out of all the cornerbacks in the NFL, our rookie is top two in the NFL.
Let me tell you something, John. So I did some research last week, and 77% of the plays – Terry McLaurin, who is a speedster. They don't call him Scary Terry for no other reason. 77% of the time, he lined up on the offense's left, the defense's right. Guess who plays over there on the right side?
Right.
Okay. Quinyon. They had to move Terry McLaurin to the left side in order to get him one damn reception.
No way. That's great, man.
Okay. That's incredible.
That's great.
That is incredible.
Well done. You know, speaking of incredible, Seth, you touched on Saquon at the start, but let's get back to that, because you just talked top two or three for the position of corner. I wonder if Saquon's top two or three for MVP. Not that he is in the odds, because he's not. It always goes to a quarterback. But in your opinion, how would you rank him halfway, a little through more than halfway through the year? Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Saquon. I mean, I just think what we're seeing is off the charts.
Well, I think what we're seeing is a renaissance or a resurgence of the running game to begin with.
Sure, yeah.
That shouldn't have never really taken a run in the opposite direction, because in my opinion, I believe that they devalued the running back position and overvalued the quarterback position, because they had to justify paying these guys $30, $40, $50, now $60 million per year. It's a quarterback-driven game. It's a passing league, you know. But there's only a handful of players, in my opinion, that's worth that kind of money. And there's only a handful of players that can stand in the pocket and deliver the ball 40, 50 times a game and be successful without turning it over. You know, so a run game is always a quarterback's best friend, just like, you know, protection is. But protection is great because, you know, you run the football and you get your offensive line, which really just wants to mash on some people, to a position where they've dominated you physically. So now when it comes to pass protection, you know, that kind of just plays over into that. Now, talk about him being a MVP candidate. If the most valuable player goes to the player that makes his player makes his team one of the better teams in the National Football League, then absolutely he should be right there. Absolutely.
I mean, Seth, I think they could be 500 without him. I mean that. I don't mean that disrespectful to all the other guys. I just think without what he's done, I mean, there was a game, I think it was the Giants, they didn't do anything for a long time, and he ripped off a long TD run. Like,
you could say the same for A.J. Brown. It feels
but more Saquon at this point.
Well, of course.
AJ,
I think the run is more important than the pass. That is intrinsic to the game.
But
the
value
of running it really matters.
But Saquon specifically has saved them more.
He has saved them. I agree. The offensive line has saved them. Jeff Stoutland has saved them. Jalen Hurts with his legs has saved them.
Jalen's made plays, but Saquon's on a totally different level. All right.
Absolutely.
Let's get some calls in here. Let's go to Brian right now. Seth Joyner with us this entire hour. Good morning, Brian. Brian.
Speechless.
Brian is
Bri guy.
Like, not there.
Brian.
Not ready to go. All right, let's talk to Ken. He's calling from Cinnaminson. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
What's up? It's great.
What a beautiful Friday morning. Hey, so Joe, pay attention, because I want you to hear how this sounds. I have to do something that I don't often do, because I don't often need to do it. I was wrong about not paying a running back. I was wrong to say that running backs are not difference makers in today's NFL. There are a handful of running backs that are difference makers in today's NFL. And Howie went out and signed one of them. And I'm so eternally grateful that he did. So I just need to get that out there. Because
I agree. Yeah, Ken, I got it. I'll hand in the air. Same thing. I agree.
Also been a really big season for running backs just across the league.
Yep.
I think because quarterback play and passing's down. But
yeah, Derrick Henry. And then, Seth, I actually thought the biggest change that led to the passing was the rule changes. Combination of the NFL wanting more passing, but also the byproduct of the concussion thing 15, 20 years ago being a bigger topic. And, you can't hit this guy that way. You can't touch the quarterback. You can't touch the wide receiver. So I thought that was the biggest factor, but it is fascinating. It's swinging back. And, we'll see where it goes.
It has to, Joe, because the tenets of the game, you can't become so one-sided. And
it wasn't good for football when it was. I agree with you. Made it more boring. It did. I like balance. It's not going to be 50-50, but I didn't want it to be 75-25. And it felt like in a lot of instances it had become, 75-25. Anyway, Ken, go ahead, pal. Go ahead.
Yeah, so one more thing, 30,000-foot kind of big picture level that I don't want to miss. I'm not calling to worship at the altar of Nick Sirianni today. That can wait for another day. But last year, the Eagles' defense looked old, slow, and expensive. Yeah. And in the offseason, Howie Roseman went out and made this defense young, athletic, and cheap. And we have maybe the best defense in the NFL right now, and it is the youngest defense in the NFL right now. And while we're throwing praise around to everybody else and the great job that everybody's done, and look, it hurt not to be able to get Fangio last year because it was just too late because they were in the Super Bowl the year before. So this is all great, but You can't overstate the job that Howie Roseman did to convert this defense in one off season to what we're seeing, and I don't want that to be kind of overlooked or lose sight of that, because hey, they're young, they're cheap, they're fast, and they're really, really good right now. And this
I agree with you. And here's how it, and Ken, good call. Here's how it often goes. It certainly happened in 2017. When a team gets great, and it's not like the Eagles were bad last year. They became bad at the end, but they were 11-6. I mean, they had a quality team for most of the year. When a team, though, makes a jump to great, it often is a multi-year process, but can be accelerated in 1 year. I mean, in 16, the Eagles got Brandon Brooks. They got Rodney McLeod. Obviously, they got Carson. You look at this team, it wasn't just in 1 year, because Jordan Davis a few years ago, Jalen Carter last year, Blankenship a couple years ago. So there are, guys that have been here, but man, they're making jumps. And by the way, what I thought? I thought of a player. All right, let's see if anyone can get this. I thought of a player last night who is an Eagle, who is not, Seth, I think it was you about 2 minutes ago, or callers 2 minutes ago, that said, young, fast, and cheap. I thought of a player who is a current Eagle, who is old, probably slow, and absolutely not cheap. And we haven't said his name in 2 months. Who is it?
Darius Slay?
Nope.
James Bradbury.
1,000% James Bradbury is still in the Eagles.
I forgot.
It's incredible. They're carrying his salary to not play.
Well, they had to.
Well, he also got injured. But what would have been fascinating had he not got injured?
He didn't get injured, Joe.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
They made a decision. You remember,
breaking news.
Hey, listen, way back in the day, when the aforementioned Washington Redskins, they had 20 players that they would hide on injured reserve. And then the league made rules about them not being able to do it. So, back then it was like the minute one of their offensive linemen went down or went out or retired, they already had a guy groomed and ready to go, so they never missed a beat. It's harder to do it now, but in James Bradbury's case, they're locked in on that salary. So they're like, well, we might as well keep him, Jick, just in case, because we're going to have to pay him anyway. We're not going to let him go somewhere else and, pay the lion's share of it for someone.
Jick sounds pretty bad, Seth. Jick sounds kind of gross.
Hey, it might, but you never know. You never know. Listen, they looked at him at safety all summer, and they talked about, he's going to be able to make the transition, and be a viable 3 or 4, safety. And then all of a sudden, he had this mysterious injury that should have been healed by now, and they still haven't activated him. So you're going to tell me that they, he ain't injured. They're just stocking him away just in case they need to activate
maybe.
Him at some point.
I had totally.
Just maybe in the wings.
John, had you forgotten about him?
Yeah.
Until last night, I hadn't thought of him probably in since September, early September.
But if he needs to be pressed into action, he's a guy who could go out there and,
I don't know
and be like,
that.
Hey,
oh God, no.
I don't
Cooper
know about
DeGene.
That. John, he's in like eighth place.
And Quinyon. Well, I don't know.
I'll take Cravon LeBlanc
if
back.
Enough guys are hurt. Listen, he's smart.
He is
he could
always
make it work.
No,
hey, by the way, no drop of the week today. It's something obviously we typically do Friday at this time, but with the Eagles game yesterday, we want to keep the focus on the Eagles when we do drop of the week, and we intend to next week. Always brought to us by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them online at familyjewelers.com. Also right there on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. Let's talk to Brian right now. Seth Joyner with us as well. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Seth, great to talk with you. Thanks for everything you did for the Eagles over the years.
You got it,
really,
Brian.
Appreciate it. But, Seth, this is going to be a hammer call. Joe, I am, and Crowley.
Pro or anti? Pro or anti?
Oh, definitely pro. I'm reading The Hobbit to my 8-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And in the beginning of the book, Bilbo asked Gandalf a question. So after he asked the question, the next four words in the book are, "That's right," said Gandalf. And without even thinking, last night as I'm reading this, putting her to bed, I said, "That's right.
That's how you do. That's what you do. That's what. That's how you do." Also, that is damn impressive.
Really is.
Get a hammer,
Brian. I felt bad not giving the audience a hammer victory today, but you know we had to keep the main thing today. You know,
okay, talk Jalen.
Absolutely. Yes, you're very gracious. Absolutely. One of the things about the hammer, you're very gracious.
But get a hammer.
I could just see you, like the wizard hammer. And I don't know if anyone's Tolkien fans, but I could just see the wizard hammer in a council of wizards looking around saying, "The wizard you think you are, I am."
Brian.
I love it.
Brian, you missed the feet. We've talked about the feet.
I thought that's where it was going to, the Frodo feet.
You know that Joe is twinning with Frodo's feet, right? Like you,
nice use of twinning,
Brian. More importantly, do you know that the show, otherwise, and I feel bad about this, otherwise known as The Hammer, last night was featured at the start of the telecast of that game?
Was not aware.
WI. So they, you know, the NFL Network or films or whoever the heck
NFL
it was,
filmed
us a couple days ago, and they were in there for like an hour. They took the whole like hour that they filmed and condensed it into about 4 seconds of content. And it was literally just me talking about the Eagles and Washington playing when they're both good for the first time in forever. I felt bad the rest of you weren't featured. I mean,
I think only you noticed. So
I did.
Don't worry.
I did feel bad.
I did.
Hey, Joe.
Yes,
you're all right. Joe, newsflash. I've been featured all my life, man.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. You want to know who's been on the most NFL films featured here? I think we got two people featured a little more.
Hey, Brian, good call, buddy. Appreciate that. See, here's the thing, Seth. Guys like me and James and Rhea and Devin, because we did not play pro football, because we were not, you know, Hall of Famers or all pros or Super Bowl champs and all that.
I didn't quit gassers.
It's a big deal for us when we get four seconds of TV time.
That's very true.
I saw it. It was pretty darn awesome. It really was. I'm like, look at Joe getting some national play.
I didn't hear enough from my college friends. It might have been so short that no one from college even knew that was me, but what are you going to do?